I'd like to welcome my guests to the program out of Abuja, President of Media Forum Islamic Movement in Nigeria, Mr. Ibrahim Musa, and out of London, journalist and commentator Sayed Mohsen Abbas. Thank you both for being with us. I'm going to start this off in Abuja. Now, Ibrahim, this is not the first attack that we've seen by the Nigerian military against the Islamic Movement of Nigeria. What is going on here? Why does the Nigerian government treat IMN in the way it does?
I think the main reason why they are busy doing this is because of what the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia has once said in an interview, that they have given out a contract to deal with the Islamic Movement in Nigeria. And we believe they are carrying out that contract to the letter. If not, there is no any reason for them to be doing what they are doing. After all, we are on a peaceful march. We are not disturbing anybody, and we are using our constitutional right to assemble and protest. So probably due to this contract they have with the Saudi Arabian government, they refuse to stop doing what they are doing to us. And secondly, it might be that it's a personal grudge by the President Muhammadu Buhari he has against our leader Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki. Because if you go back to history, in 1984, when the President Buhari came into power, he quickly imprisoned our leader, Sheikh Zakzaki. It was after he was toppled, I think in 1985, that our leader, Sheikh Zakzaki, was released. So probably these two factors are in play in what they are doing to us now.
Very interesting. I'm going to look at both of them. But right now, Sayed Mohsen, I want to look at the Arba'in March itself, which is known to be peaceful, not only by IMN members, but of course where the main one is in Karbala, Iraq. And of course we know it's the commemoration of the grandson of Islam's Prophet Muhammad, Imam Hussein, and his stand against corruption and tyranny. It would appear that a religious commemoration such as this should not be problematic for a country which claims to be democratic. What do you think?
Yes, what you said is correct.
It shouldn't be problematic.
But, Sayed Mohsen, I'm turning to London.
The problem is, of course, that it obviously shouldn't be problematic to a truly democratic country. But the truth of the matter is that Nigeria, like most of the Western democracies, is actually a kleptocracy. It's controlled in the background by people with money, with power. And as my colleague in the studio in Abuja has outlined, the Saudi Arabian hand is behind it. And ideologically, we know that Saudi Arabia and its Wahhabi doctrine has been used as, if you like, the on-the-ground opposition to any of this kind of real Islam, original Islam. That's what I call it. The original Islam is all about an esoteric depth. It's about intellectual betterment of society, about the human rights of society. It's about all those values which actually the Saudi Arabians, with their Wahhabism and with their Takfirism and with their Salafism and with their Daesh sponsorship, have basically hijacked. The narrative has been hijacked. They're doing the same here in Nigeria, quite clearly. They are the proxies, though, for the forces behind them. Nothing that happens in Saudi Arabia happens without the United States say so. Let's get this clear. You know, this nonsense about Saudi Arabia having some sort of independent policy, some sort of strategic motives, and some sort of proxy war across the world that's going on with the Shia or with the Islamic resistance, it's nonsense. It's the people who are behind this movement which deserve far more attention. And in Nigeria, they have a double intention, because Nigeria is laden with resources. It's one of those powerful countries in Africa. It has huge amounts of natural resources. And the US and the usual suspects are simply trying to keep their hands on it. They use people like Buhari in order to maintain that hold. And the Shia Islamic movement, or what should I call it, the Islamic resistance movement, is actually fundamentally a problem for these people, because it's going to talk about justice, it's going to talk about the rights of the oppressed, it's going to stand up for the poor and the downtrodden. That naturally becomes an absolute no-no for the likes of Buhari, dictator, you know, pseudo-democratic dictators. like Buhari.
Well, Ibrahim, if this is the case, and Saudi Arabia, it appears, that may be giving orders to the Buhari government, how problematic is that for the Nigerian people themselves when you have an outside entity that definitely has shown itself being very divisive, not only in the region but the world, but the Nigerian government taking orders from an entity like the Saudi government?
Yes, this is what we have been trying to make our citizens understand, that all this what is happening is mainly because of Saudi Arabian interference, and if you extend it, American interference. And however, we are trying to make our people understand that the government is trying to concoct lies so that they will be blaming us in one way or the other. As recently of what happened in Abuja, they are claiming we block roads. Even the police commissioner is saying we have petrol bombs, which are all lies, because the commoners from whom, with whom we are living knew that we don't carry arms, we don't do anything that is unlawful while we are on our gathering, especially during the Arba'in processions. So it will be a problem before the people get to understand this. But ultimately, we believe as things are coming out clearly for in the media, the people will get to know that the government of Muhammad Buhari is simply acting on a script made from outside Nigeria.
Well, Syed Mohsen, when we look at, for example, the situation with Sheikh Zak Zaki, who was arrested, of course, after a very brutal crackdown back in December of 2015, where scores of members of the Islamic movement were killed, and of course, Sheikh Zak Zaki and his wife and other followers arrested and still being incarcerated, although the Nigerian judiciary had said that he should be released a while ago, but still hasn't been released. I mean, what does that say about the rule of law in Nigeria?
Well, it says it's corrupt, it's non-existent, and it's all basically run according to an agenda which suits this kind of very quite basically pseudo-fascist regime. Let's make it clear that Buhari is there in Nigeria to basically keep Nigeria safe for the imperialist powers. And the bottom line is that the United Nations and such organizations which claim to have the rule of law at their heart and human rights at their heart, I mean, they've done next to nothing on this case. I mean, there is no pressure being brought to bear on Buhari. There is no talk of any economic sanctions or any kind of thing which would threaten Buhari into really behaving himself. And this is a trend which is going on across the world. And it's obviously been enhanced by the likes of Donald Trump, who've just basically run amok, and they want to do anything they like, act in a unilateral way without a multilateral, consideration for the rest of the world. And Saudi Arabia, for instance, has followed suit within that. They're becoming more and more brazen within their violations of human rights, international laws, and every other kind of law. So what we're seeing here is a trend which is echoed by the imperialist forces, which they're giving a green light to their little minnows like Buhari to do exactly the same, because they know that there's no international law, there is no real international body which is going to be able to hold them to account, so they can get away with literally cold-blooded murder in broad daylight, which is what they've done here again.
What about that, Ibrahim? How much of that? We heard our guest in London, Syed Mohsen, talk about basically Buhari and the Saudis are a proxy for hegemonic powers. And I want to look at how that plays in everything that we're seeing in Nigeria towards Sheikh Zak Zaki and towards the Islamic movement. Can you hear me, Ibrahim? Okay, we might have lost Abuja. Hopefully we can reestablish that connection. But turning back to you, Syed Mohsen, when we look at this situation in general, and as you talked about, it's basically these two forces. We have the Wahhabi force that more and more it appears that people are finding out the insanity behind it, whether we look at the most recent incident of Jamal Khashoggi, or we look at Yemen, or so many other things, but it seems more and more that people are finding out about that. And our guest in Abuja, Ibrahim, had talked about, little by little, though, this also is seeping out about the Islamic movement, about the Sheikh Zakzakis, a movement that is very inclusive of not only Shia Muslims, Sunni Muslims, Christians, and secular people. So do you think that we're getting closer to a crossroads where people will be able to see the differentiation between these groups, perhaps, and make a choice, although mainstream media does not cover it a whole lot?
I think people across social media are sharing and people are waking up more and more, but the reality is that at the same time, the Western imperialist forces and the Western imperialist media is also beginning to shut things down. I mean, you just need to these days look quickly at Google, look quickly across YouTube or Facebook, and you can increasingly see that the hegemonic forces have started exerting their control over the internet and that media, which was free on the social media circuit. They're beginning to delete and re-engineer that space quite literally. I mean, today, for instance, I Googled the word Hezbollah, for instance, and I could see that any positive articles about the Hezbollahi movement, which has a similar resistance movement, a peaceful resistance movement initially, really based on justice for the oppressed, which was also just being edited out. So actually what we're seeing is, yes, people are waking up, and that is scaring the imperialists even more, and what they're doing is becoming more and more dictatorial, totalitarian, which is reflected in their politics. And you can see across Europe and across the West, more and more right-wing movements are being allowed to flourish and come forward. In Nigeria, it's going to be no different. And let's just look at Nigeria in terms of how it's panning out. Boko Haram is another offshoot of the hegemonic powers. They say it's a terrorist organization, it's part of the ISIS or Al-Qaeda networks, etc. Nonsense. The whole of this entire cadre of horror stories that call themselves Islamic political movements is actually financed by the structural elite, by people across the US imperialist networks, philanthropists, neoconservative think tanks. They're all in on it. There's an entire strategy of which this Boko Haram is another part. And it's interesting how Buhari can't deal with Boko Haram, but he can deal, who are armed to the teeth, no doubt, by weapons that are provided for them by the hegemonic powers and the Saudi money. But when it comes to a peaceful, non-armed movement like Sheikh Zakzakis, then they become real big men, don't they? They can turn out with their military weapons and kill innocent men and women who are marching peacefully for something like this. I mean,
let me get Ibrahim back in on this discussion. Stay with me, Syed Mohsen. Turning back to Abuja, what about that, Ibrahim? We have seen, as Syed Mohsen, we look at Boko Haram that wreaks havoc in Nigeria, and some would say that the Nigerian government hasn't really been that aggressive in dealing with them, and yet we see a heavy-handed crackdown continuously on a peaceful movement like the Islamic movement of Nigeria, and of course on Sheikh Zakzaki himself. Why do you think that's the case?
Yes, yeah, this is what has been baffling people and commentators also, that why are they dealing with us high-handedly, while at the same time, the Boko Haram and the rest of them, they are even, so to say, fearing to deal with them. That is why some people are of the view that it seems it is simply because we are stand on the truth, we are calling for justice and fairness, and they believe that the people are gradually understanding the hour of Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki, and they are afraid that sometime in the near future, the whole country might come to understand and accept his call. So that is why they think they have to use force to stop it right outrightly there. But unfortunately, what they don't know is that, just like the Sheikh said, we are based on a belief system. And no matter how much you use force to kill out a belief system, it just won't work out. No amount of force can stop this da'wah, inshallah, in the near future.
Well, Said Mohsen, how do you think this situation, how can it resolve itself? We have seen it exacerbating now between the government and IMN. What is it going to take to calm the situation down in Nigeria and also to attain the release of Sheikh Zakzaki, his wife and followers?
Well, first of all, the Islamic countries need to really learn their own Islamic ethics and akhlaqiyat. They need to stop putting economics over ethics. They need to intervene wherever zulm or oppression is taking place. They need to take on the side, of the oppressed. And regardless of sectarian beliefs or doctrinal beliefs or nationality, this is a principle which Muslim nations must learn to stand up for. But the reality is that most of those Muslim nations are in the hands of the imperialists. Therefore, they will always go for economics over ethics. Let's turn to what the Western nations should be doing. You can't expect anything from the US and such powers, because they, bottom line, are the ones who will profit financially from reaping all the resource rape of Nigeria using Buhari. So they're not going to do it, and they certainly won't be supporting the Islamic resistance and the revolution of hearts and minds, which Sheikh Zakzaki is clearly bringing about, because that's what it is. He has the hearts and minds of millions of people. The number of people that have converted to Islam, to original Islam, is unbelievable, and it hasn't been a forced conversion. These people have come because their hearts and minds have accepted truth. That scares the hell out of the hegemonic forces, and they're going hard on them for that as another reason, because they fear the power of that heart and that belief. But as far as the European governments go, they need to sort of take a stock check on, say,
Go ahead, 15 seconds.
The European governments have to, if they had any morality, they would be imposing economic sanctions on Buhari, they'd been rolling him up in the UN, and they would be taking him to task, and they would be putting political sanctions, and they would demand that this violence doesn't take place again. If the world did that, if we all took our responsibility, it would be fine.
Okay.
Let's just hope and pray that the forces move in that direction.
Ibrahim, your final thoughts. What do you want people to understand, one, about what is happening in Nigeria to the Islamic movement, and two, what needs to happen to change the status quo?
We want people to understand that we are the victims of oppression under the oppressive ruler, President Muhammadu Buhari. Secondly, we also want the federal government to obey the court order given by a federal high court that our leader, Sheikh Zakzaki, and his wife should be released. We believe whenever he is released, the first step towards solving this problem of the military attack of 2015 will be over, inshallah. So we are calling on the federal government to look into this, to stop what it's doing, and set our leader free, especially since his health is deteriorating day by day.
And 30 seconds, staying with you, Ibrahim, there are those who say that this is a sectarian movement. What would you say to them?
It's not a sectarian movement as such, because the name Islamic movement speaks for itself. And also, with time, even some Christians align themselves with us. Even in this Arba'in track, there are some Christians with us, likewise as it was some years back. So if you look at the movement, we'll see that Sheikh Zakzaki has been interacting with different tribes, different religious associations, and the rest of them. So no, anybody who said we are a sectarian group is just turning a blind eye to the reality.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us out of Abuja. President of Media Forum, Islamic Movement in Nigeria, Mr. Ibrahim Musa, and out of London, journalist and commentator Said Mohsen Abbas. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashmi, thanking you for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.